thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Men, you may be seated. Today, if you with those same Bibles, if you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, this is going to be our main passage for sharing today. 2 Kings chapter 2. Beginning verse 1, we're going to read the first 18 verses. Because this is the story we're going to kind of focus on. So when the Lord was about to take Elijah, who was a prophet of God, up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elisha was Elijah's apprentice, for those that don't know. He was being mentored by Elijah. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel, in other words, a group of prophets that were already at Bethel, came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" So these prophets who received word from God were coming up to Elisha, the apprentice, saying, "Do you realize God's going to take your mentor from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets at Jericho, another group of prophets of God who were at Jericho, went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha said. "Let me inherit a double portion." Keep that in mind. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taking from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." In other words, if you're with me till the day or the moment that I am taken up to heaven and you see me go to the end, this double portion, your request, will be yours. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Then Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked them up and set him down on the mountain or in the valley." "No," Elisha said, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. In other words, they kept saying, "Let's really, come on, let's look." He said, "Fine, just go ahead and do it. That's what we want to do, go ahead and do it." Not that he necessarily agreed with them, but he just wanted them to stop. And the 50 men who searched for 3 days did not find him. And when they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, Did I tell you not to go? So we look at this story as kind of a passing of the torch. But I want us to look at it today from a much deeper perspective that you don't realize. It's much more than a passing of the torch. It's a passing and a releasing of an inheritance or a mantle that Elijah had to Elisha, the one he mentored, the one he discipled. Because Elisha was basically a farmer working on his dad's farm when Elijah saw him and said, "Come follow me, God has chosen you." And if you haven't already picked up on a lot of parallels, there's a lot of parallel going on here to Jesus choosing his disciples, discipling them, and then bestowing on them this inheritance or mantle to continue what was started in Jesus. So I want to look at a few things. I want to go through the story here, but for those that like to take notes, I've broken it into three sections. First section, I'm going to call the petition. So here, Elisha, the student, got a revelation from God, who was being trained to be a prophet, to take up the prophetic mantle of Elijah. Now, as we read, there were a lot of different prophets in Israel at that time. 50 here, 50 there, a few there, a few there. But Elijah was looked on as the kind of the big name, the main prophet, the prophets that all prophets look up to. Because there was such a powerful anointing on him from God. And another word for anointing we can use is his mantle, because he passed on the mantle. And this mantle that was passed on, symbolically, we read how, you know, Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak. In a way, from a symbolic perspective, the cloak that Elijah left behind, that his pupil Elisha picked up, is symbolically represents the mantle that was passed to him. But here, he knew what he was doing. He knew that his master was going to go. So now think back of the 12 disciples and others who followed Jesus. How many times did Jesus tell them, "I'm only here with you for a little bit longer, and then I'm going to get going here, and I got to go to my Father"? So they were aware of this, but were not prepared for this. There's a difference here. It's one thing to know something's happening, but it's another thing to be prepared for it to happen. And this is the difference we see. Because Elijah, he was leaving, but Elisha now knew it, and he was preparing himself to take up the mantle, to receive the anointing. And see, what we read here is that he was determined to follow his master to the very end. See, the 12 disciples all said, "Jesus, we'll follow you where you go." But they weren't prepared to go where he went. How do we know that? When he was arrested, they all scattered, right? Even Peter denied him 3 times. But what did Elisha do? Elijah said to him, hey, I'm going here. Stay here before I go to the next town. He said, no, I'm going to follow you all the way. Then he said, now I'm going to Jericho. Stay here. He said, no, I'm going to follow you all the way. Then he said, I'm going to go to the Jordan. Stay here. He said, no, I'm going with you till the very end. Till the very end. So that what Elisha was doing, he knew what was happening, but he was also readying himself. And see, there's something else going on here. There's something called the inheritance of the firstborn. So when Elijah asked him, what do you want, Elisha, since you've been so faithful with me to the very end? What is it that I can offer you? What does he ask him? He said, I want the blessing of the firstborn. And what we read in Genesis chapter 29 is when Jacob blesses his sons, the 12 sons that he had. But within that blessing, the true blessing of the firstborn is a double portion of all the blessings. It's a double inheritance that he wants them to have. That's the true blessing of the firstborn. So what Elisha's saying is, hey, I recognize my position as your disciple, your primary disciple. And I'm staying with you as my spiritual dad to the very end because I want to receive a double portion. Now, why would he ask that? Why would he ask, I want a double portion of what you have? I want a double portion of being able to hear from God, to prophesy, to know, to move, to shake, to make a difference. I want to be able to do double what's been taking place here. Because see, when you follow a dying person or you stay with a person who's passing to the end, you receive that blessing from them. That's why it was traditional when an elder, a patriarch, was dying, all his sons and family would gather because nobody wants to miss out on the blessing he has for them. And Elisha said, no, I'm staying with you to the end. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to be deterred. My petition, you ask me what I want, I'm going to ask for a double from you. Now, why would he ask that question? Is it just so, hey, I want to be cool and prophesy? I want to be the next cool prophet that everyone runs to? No, that's not why. That's not why. What do you think the weight of responsibility is that comes that Elijah had to bear, that Elisha is asking for? See, as his primary disciple, Elisha knew who his master was. He knew the heavy weight and the heavy footsteps he would have to follow. And he said, you know what? I need what you have and more. I need a double portion of this because I can't do this without you. See, in John 14:12, listen to what Jesus says to his disciples. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, he will do because I go to my Father. This is very similar. Elisha knew that there is a lot of work to be done and that this passing of the torch carries a great deal of responsibility with it. So Elijah, I need help. I need what you had. And when Jesus said to his disciples, you're going to do greater than these, he told them also, I have to go so that my Father can send the Spirit, the Helper, to help you accomplish these works. See, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples about these works, there is a level of expectation that these works, they're supposed to do. And the beautiful thing is, the same Spirit that was released on his disciples to do these works is the same Spirit that is being released on us today to do these same works. Guys, we are sons and daughters of the King. And when we look at the totality of Scripture, we realize God has no favorites. Jesus is the first, considered the second Adam, considered the firstborn of the heart of the Father. But after that, in his eyes, what is available to us is that inheritance of the firstborn if we would choose to receive it. Because he told us, you will do greater works than I did, than these, than what you saw me doing. So when we realize, you know, Lord, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Give me what I need to accomplish your will. We have to realize that there's a way to this. It's not, oh, it's so cool that I can hear from God and I can prophesy and I can pray for healing. There's a responsibility, a beautiful responsibility that comes with that, because I'm walking in the spiritual footsteps of Jesus. I'm doing exactly what he did. And there's a weight to that, but I can't bear without him. I need that. Guys, I'm just being very open here. Every time I'm up before you, you have no idea the cry of my heart. Lord, give me what I need from you to carry your work, because, man, I can't do this. I need to, you've called me to feed your sheep. Give me the food. Let it come out of me to feed your sheep, because I have nothing to feed them with. I'll feed them, you know, with lifesavers that are nothing but empty calories of sugar. But you've got the 7-course meal, and I need you to pour it in me and feed me so I can feed them. Because there's a beautiful responsibility to this. There's a weight to this. And we need his Spirit. And the beautiful thing about it, when his anointing is on us, it won't feel like a weight, because he flows. But in the flesh, when I look at the daunting task, in the natural, I'm going, holy cow, Lord, what have you got me into? How am I going to do this? But in him, I know there's nothing impossible with God. That's his word. That I can do, me, this poor soul right here, can do everything through Christ who gives me his strength. His strength. So when Elisha says, give me a double portion, saying, I need the strength of the Lord on me to follow through. Because part of this is recognizing his calling, recognizing his position to do this. I need you, your strength to help me do this. And I accept it, but I need you to help me get it done. So he says, give me. And Elisha's commitment was, in a way, tested 3 times. Just like Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but then we know Jesus redeemed him. Elisha's commitment was tested 3 times to follow him. He said, nah, I'm not leaving your side. See, because what that shows is, number one, Elisha knew what he was getting into. Number two, he was determined to go all the way. And three, he wanted it, that burden. His petition recognizes that he knows he can't do it on his own. But he also knew it's what he was born to do. He was called to do. And every one of us was created to house the presence of God in us. So whether you have yet to realize it or not, you were created to carry the Spirit of God, this inheritance in you, to accomplish the purpose and heart that God has for you. You were created for this. You were created for this. The heart of the Father, the mind of the Son, and the power of the Spirit to flow through you and I, right here, right now. And that's why I believe, when you look at this, when he says to him, if you see me at the very last second, you're going to get this double portion, but if you don't, you won't. Because Elijah was saying to him, if you're going to really stay to the very end, you're going to get it. But also, it was also a confirmation for Elisha himself. Think about it. You'd feel a little more confident about your calling when a chariot of fire shows up with horses of fire on it and carries your mentor up, and therefore he's flying to the sky. You'd go, okay, God, you're with me here. Because this was now, in a way, a prophetic word from Elijah to help confirm and encourage Elisha. That if you see this happening, you see this crazy thing that's about to take place, guess what? You got it going on. Be confident in this. Know this. Kind of like in Philippians, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Be confident. That's the key here. Be confident. So this second section is called the blessing. So he requests this double portion. See, Jesus told his disciples, go into the world and make disciples, right? That's the work that he was carrying on. So this blessing, this inheritance that Elijah was passing on, was to continue the work that he started. And Elijah would be empowered by his Spirit to do what Elijah did and more. And as Christ, as God's adopted sons and daughters, that's our calling. Deuteronomy 21:17 says this. He must acknowledge the son of his unloved wife as the firstborn belongs to him, giving him a double share of all he has. The son is the first sign of his father's strength, the right of the firstborn. So that's what I was talking about, the inheritance of the firstborn. See, he realized he needed this badly. So he applies this principle of this firstborn, and when this happens, the spirit of Elijah came on him. This is a precursor of the Holy Spirit. This is a precursor of when the 120 were sitting and the Spirit fell. When Jesus said, I have to go so that my Spirit can come and live in you. And you'll be able to do these things. So this is, one commentary calls this spirit of Elijah that falls on Elisha. I love the way it's defined here. It's the energizing power of the prophetic spirit that characterized the life of Elijah. The energizing power of the prophetic spirit that characterized the life of Elijah. So give me double of that energetic power of the prophetic spirit that characterized your life, Elijah. I want more. I want to do what you did and more. See, the Holy Spirit is the author of Elijah's prophetic call and gift and the energizing power. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not the man Elijah giving something to him. It's the Spirit of God being placed on him because of his obedience and faithfulness and willing to follow. See, what did Elisha ask Elisha? He said, go with me 3 times. You know, or he said, I'm going here, stay here. He said, no, I'm going with you to the end. And then he says, if at the very end you see me, you're going to get this. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Go to Jerusalem. Wait for me. Wait for me there. And when my spirit comes, you'll know it, right? He tells them in Acts chapter 2, they're waiting. What are they doing? Just like Elisha, they're waiting to the very moment. That 120 that the Holy Spirit fell, what did they do? They persevered. They went to the very end. I'm sure some of them at day 109 or day 118 or day 62 were saying, what's going on here? How long, we have to wait or whatever. But we know Pentecost came 50 days after Jesus was taken up. So they waited for those 50 days. And I got confused by my numbers of the 120 days and the 120 that were waiting, so forgive me for that. But at some point, during those 50 days, some had doubts. But they waited, and those who waited to the end received that anointing from God, the power of Spirit. Some of us have been praying for a long time to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. My testimony is simple. I grew up Southern Baptist. I believed in the Spirit, but I'd never been baptized in the Spirit. 1996, the first time I walked into this church, January, first Sunday, January of 1996, God said, this is the church you belong in. Wasn't planning on staying here when I first came here. But that week at home, the first time in my life, as I was praying, I prayed in the Spirit. First time that been touched by the Spirit. And it was intermittent after that, till 4 or 5 years ago when my wife and I made a commitment. Lord, we're going to pursue you. We're going to pursue tongues, praying in the Spirit. We're going to pursue the prophetic. We don't know what we're doing, but we're just going to run after you. And in his gracious love and faithfulness, he poured out his Spirit on us as we can handle it, as we can take it, and begin, and has been growing us ever since, and has been growing this church in this way ever since. But we have to be in that position to receive, in that place to have this inheritance, and we have to want it. So we also read in the book of Acts, and this is, as I've said this many times, is a head scratcher for me. When the Holy Spirit was moving and the disciples said, come on, let's receive, let's all be baptized. Some of the people were like, no, that's good for you, but not for us. We're scared of this. We don't want this. So to me, I scratch my head. Who would not want more of God within you? More of the things of God? But sometimes fear gets in the way of that. Because it is, in a weird way, at the beginning, kind of unnerving when God is moving and you know it's not you. And it's God. It's awesome. But you're going, what is going on here? This is weird. But see, Elisha, who had seen what Elijah had done, the 12 disciples, those 120, had seen what Jesus had done. And some have tasted and experienced some of it themselves when he released them, two by two for a period of days. Now we're receiving the fullness. They knew what was in store, and they were willing. I really believe the heart of this is our willingness to receive, our willingness to want this inheritance, want this mantle passed on to us. And again, symbolically, for Elisha, it was picking up what was left of Elijah, which was his cloak. That was the passing of the mantle. For us nowadays, in the New Testament, we lay hands on each other, and it's called impartation. We impart. And we read in the book of Timothy that when Timothy was a young man and he was being ordained to start his ministry, Paul says, don't forget what was imparted to you on that day, what was prayed over you, and released into your life. That's the blessing we have in His Spirit. And now I can look at a young person or a person and say, you know what? God has given me this gift. And being that this gift is available for every one of us, I'm going to lay hands and pray that you're able to receive that gift too. Impart that on you. I want to release in your life. I'm not going to hold it on to myself. And that's called mentoring. That's called releasing. That's called training. That's called making disciples. Because a lot of times we think of making disciples as just converts. Just know Jesus and then you're a disciple. No. That's only the first step of making a disciple. Know Jesus, receive His Holy Spirit, and then let's train up the gifts, stir up the gifts. Again, Paul writes in the New Testament, stir up the gifts that's in you. In other words, let's get them, these raw gifts, let's start polishing them up to release them to continue the work that Christ has started. Because that's our job as His sons and daughters. We're in the family business, and we're His disciples, right? And this is exactly what Elisha knew he was getting into and said, I am going to do this. I'm going to follow through on this. And the third and final thing is the actual mantle, I'm going to call, or this inheritance. The prophet's mantle was a symbol of authority he had been given by God. What was on Elijah, everybody knew he had been given this unbelievable authority by God Himself to do the things that God had given him. And here's the cool thing. What was the last thing Elijah did with the authority God gave him? He took off his cloak, he rolled it up, and he touched the Jordan, didn't he? And the Jordan parted, and he and Elisha crossed it. Very symbolic of Moses in the Red Sea, right? Also very symbolic. See, here's the funny thing. I want you to picture this. Here's Jericho, where they were coming from. This is the Jordan. This is the other side. When Israel entered the Promised Land, they came from this side. And what did God tell Joshua? He said, put your worshipers, put the priests first with the ark that represents my spirit, and let them go stand in the water and begin worshiping me, and then the water would part and the people would be able to pass. So here's now Elijah taking his cloak that represents his mantle, his authority and power of God, touching the Jordan from the Jericho side, going over here, the chariot shows up, he's bestowing his mantle on Elisha. Going back to the place in a way where this whole thing all began for the people of Israel, where they were going into the land of milk and honey. His cloak was left on this side. Elisha picks it up, touches the Jordan to cross back. So Elijah's last act in the power and spirit of God in his that was on him was to part the Jordan. Elisha's first act was to part the Jordan. He was carrying the work of Elijah. What did Jesus do? We know he was crucified, but you know, after he was resurrected, didn't he show up for about 40 days? Hung out with his disciples, discipling them, sitting on the beach having breakfast with them, encouraging them, training them for what's to come? His last act of making disciples was their first act when the Spirit fell on them. Which, what happened? Peter got up, preached, few thousand got saved, And people began to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so they began to stir up the things that God was placing in them, continuing the work of God that was established in Christ. So, what happens when I pray for someone and release what God might have blessed me with or is doing in my life onto them? They're going to continue that work. When I pray, Lord, the gift of healing, you know, as you, Holy Spirit, as you're in me, and you have been supernaturally allowing me to lay hands on people and things are being healed left and right, and now I'm going to want to impart this blessing, this gift, this inheritance, this mantle on so-and-so, they're going to be able to start doing the same as they are willing to receive it and step out in faith in it. See, because that's the whole part of it. Elisha now had to act in faith. And he has to go, well, let's see if this works. Let me stick that cloak there and do it. Because it was also, remember, there was a group of prophets who were standing by the Jordan too, watching this. People were watching. They might not have fully seen what took place across the Jordan, but they did see the Jordan part and Elisha come through. And then they're going, come on, let's go look for him. Maybe Elijah's still on the other side. So they were gone for 3 days looking for him. God was bestowing this. And starting this ministry in his life that he's continuing, that it was started with Elijah. Jesus started something amazing. It continued in the 12. It expanded to the 120. And it's been expanding ever since. And it's expanding here today. Jesus told us, we will do greater works than these. Why? Because I was limited physically in where I was able to go and the things I was able to do in 3 years or so. But as what's in me, my spirit, gets on you, and you are released to go all over this world, you're going to do so much. So many awesome and amazing things. This is the double portion that's available to us, the inheritance that we have in him, that he's given us. And as we like to say, everything in the kingdom of heaven is freely given. It's our choice to freely receive it. So would you stand with me right now? Would you position your heart, and if you have to, your body even, and like you're about to receive something from the Holy Spirit, like a child receiving a gift. Where we're going with this is going to be slightly different than just a general outpouring. I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, think back of a time. Think back of a time where I asked you to do something in my name and you were nervous. You were scared. You doubted yourself. Whether it was praying for somebody for healing, speaking something into someone's life, even if it was a fleeting thought and you went, is this of you, God, or not? I don't know. Or taking a step of faith somehow, some way, but you were just nervous, uncomfortable, maybe even afraid. What the Holy Spirit's saying is that's the area God wants to develop in you. When we are afraid to take a step of faith, more than likely, that's because the enemy is trying to cause fear. Because fear doesn't come from God. Anxiety doesn't come from God. Peace comes from God. Brave men aren't brave, and brave women aren't brave because of the lack of fear. We call them brave in spite of what they might be feeling. Because they act and take steps of faith and do in spite of whatever they're feeling. And if you ever felt nervous or anxious or fearful of doing something in faith, that's where God wants to grow in you, and the enemy is offering resistance. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to receive right now. If you're willing to receive, it's your choice. In the name of Jesus, and I want you to think of that specific area in your life right now. I receive you, Holy Spirit, and the gift to achieve, succeed, be more than a conqueror like your word says in this area that you've called me to. I say yes to step out in faith in this area. I thank you, Jesus, that even though I might have not done it before, that Lord, in faith, you are establishing a new opportunity for me. Even today, even this week, where I will have a chance to step out and do this. And I thank you for your grace and your mercy that, Lord, as I repent or change my mind, that's what repentance is, change my mind of what I used to think to now I know I can do this in you, in your spirit. I know I can do this. I thank you that you will work in it. And just like Elisha was confirmed and encouraged by seeing the chariot of fire, that Lord, by the result of this, you will confirm and encourage me as well. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just stay in that receiving mode just a few more seconds. Just let the Holy Spirit fill you right now. Just receive. Receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.